Okay. Father, once again, we come to celebrate the incredible gift when your Son came and said, Father, the Holy Spirit. And you gave the Holy Spirit to your Son to give to us. And we receive the incredible gift of God, the Holy Spirit. And you are teaching us how to walk with the Holy Spirit. You're teaching us how to live life in the Holy Spirit. And we want to thank you, Father, as you show us and you teach us, Lord, this is your realm. So you know this realm so much. And as you teach us how to grow in the fullness of God, how we grow in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of you, Lord Jesus, that we may be filled to the fullness of God. So we want to thank you, Father, for what you do. We want to thank you for the incredible process of maturing the body of Christ worldwide. And we're just starting to get a glimpse of your glory in the family, of that revelation of your fullness in the family of God. And we want to thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that we can be part of something in this time of history that is a revelation of your Son Jesus. We want to thank you for our time on this earth and where you've placed us in every town, every city, all over. We want to celebrate your goodness. We want to celebrate your incredible plans of revealing your Son, revealing yourself to the people, to the nations. And so we just marvel, Father, as we look at the unfolding of revelation, of the revelation of your Son Jesus in the context of the present, of the future, of the past. And we just say thank you, Father, that we can participate in something far bigger than ourselves, something great, something that has so much eternity, so much worth, so much God worth to it. What a joy to live in the worthiness of just your life and who you are and to display your glory through our lives. So we celebrate this morning, Holy Spirit, your activity in our lives. We celebrate where you're leading us, where you're taking us. We celebrate the freedom that you're bringing into our lives and the joy and just the direction and the river of life. We celebrate that we can participate in this river of life of yours. We can live in the stream of your life. And we want to just continue just to enjoy this, to be effective, to be fruitful, to touch the world, to be relevant to people all around us. And this, because of you, Lord Jesus, what you have done in bringing us into the life, your life. And we want to thank you for this, for your honor and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Good. Well, Yvonne, good morning. And Rachel. Yeah, I think those are the new additions. Yeah, good morning, everybody. We, just for those that weren't here last Sunday, continuing with that, with the theme of Romans chapter 8 and looking there at verse 2 about the laws of the Spirit of life and the law of sin and death. And going deeper into that, we are learning to walk in the fullness of the law of the Spirit of life. That's what our Lord is helping us, because he walked in the fullness of the law of the Spirit of life. We see that, for instance, in Luke chapter 4. After Jesus was baptized, and the Spirit of God came upon him, in Luke chapter 4, it's an incredible truth. It reads in verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And so here we see that our Lord Jesus is the example of what it is to be full with the Holy Spirit and to be led by the Holy Spirit. This is the reality of the law of the Spirit of life. And we are learning to grow in this now. Just my own observation, it's just my own observation. If I look back at church history, and you will see over there that there's been phases where there's been incredible revelation of truth being released, whether it is through Martin Luther, we've got there then with John Wesley and with Calvin and Zwingli and Jonathan Edwards, all those guys. Then we come to the whole Pentecostal movement, the evangelical movement there, the charismatic movement. You've got all these different truths being released. And everyone had that pendulum swing from one side to the other. What I'm seeing is that it's like all these truths now, we are starting to get the balance. We're starting to get the purity that God intended to come through. And all the junk, all the rubbish, all the stuff that we've added onto, it's been somehow removed. So there's this purity coming through there so that we are learning. That's why I say we are learning to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, not in the fullness of the sinful nature. Because we're no longer operating in that law of sin and death, but we are operating in another law, the law of that releases life and gives life, and it's the Spirit of life, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and we are in Him. So the Holy Spirit is helping us to be able to live in the truth of life. Okay, and so we're learning in all of this. In Galatians chapter 5, for instance, we see over there where Paul writes, you know, the whole context over there, the fruit of the Spirit and the reality of the flesh and so forth. And he says in verse 5 or verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Now verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, we keep in step with the Spirit. Let's go back to the life of Jesus. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was led by the Holy Spirit. So he's living in the life of the Holy Spirit, and he's keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. And so he's our example of how to live on this planet Earth. And that's what we are learning now. We are learning to walk in the fullness of the law of the Spirit that gives life. And that, so just to, that was just introduction again, where we were last week and where we're continuing this morning. And all of us, I love this because all of us are learning this now. All of us are finding there that there's been tremendous mind shifts taking place. You're awakened to many, many things in one's life and becoming free and just learning a new way of walking with God in your relationship with God, because that's what he's doing. He's helping us to live the life in the Spirit, but also to keep in step with the Spirit. They go together, because there's one thing of the life, but there's other thing of the yieldedness. And we're going to get to that there, because again, our Lord Jesus was fully yielded to the Holy Spirit all the time. So in that Galatians over there, so since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Life in yieldedness, life in obedience, life in love all the time. This is the context of the fullness of the law of the Spirit of life. Now, we were there in Romans chapter 8. And we saw over there, therefore there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We'll go to the context there now, because through Christ Jesus, remember Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Remember all the time, the apostolic teaching is not something new. They always go back to Jesus, and they're explaining the life of Jesus. They're opening up the teachings of Jesus for us to understand. So when Jesus said over there, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, now this is opening it all up. We're getting an understanding of what Jesus was speaking about. The apostles, And the writers of the New Testament don't write anything outside of Jesus. It's always Christ is the cornerstone. And Jesus says he will build his church based on the revelation of who he is. And so the disciples are building with Jesus in this. And so we see over here in verse 2 again, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. I'm busy just doing a present a training videos. And one of the things I mentioned that in thermodynamics, there is a law. It's called the law of entropy. And what that means is that all systems will proceed in the direction of disorder unless there is a control system in place. And bringing it into this context over there, we see over here, unless he has two laws operating. There's the law of the Spirit of life, who gives life, has set us free. And there's the law of sin and death. And unless we get another control system, another law operating within us, we will always default to the operating system that we had before. It'll go there. It's an automatic thing. And so that's why in Romans 7 and in Romans 6 and Romans 7 is such a explanation building up to this verse 2 here in Romans chapter 8. And so we see over there that in verse 3, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh or by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be sin. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now this is something that really you and I need to accept. We need to take this as this is our life. We used to live. Remember when we compared Adam and Christ in Romans chapter 5. Again in Romans chapter 6. Let me just go to Romans 7 there just to give you the in verse 1 over there. Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, okay, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives. And so, yeah, it's in the context of the Mosaic law. It's in the context of the Ten Commandments. It's in the context of the law that was given in order for the Israelites to become very conscious of the inability to keep and to walk in righteousness, because they now become very conscious of just how unrighteous they were, because that's what the law does. It makes us aware of the sinful state of one's heart. Okay? And that's what the Ten Commandments that God has given to all mankind, our consciences, does that for us. It makes us aware of the condition of our heart, the sinfulness of our heart. And so the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives. For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relationships with another man while her husband is alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. Now look at this verse 4. This is important. So my brothers and sisters, you and I died to the law through the body of Christ. See, that law of sin and death, because of our union with Jesus, we died to that law. Okay? So that law has no authority over you and I. And I'm sharing this because in the Great Commission that we have in making disciples, we've got to help the people to understand this law of the Spirit that they now have. What Christ has done about that law of sin that was so powerful in their lives. Otherwise, they're always going to be battling to live the truth that the Holy Spirit is teaching them, because they don't understand, they haven't received the life of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit. They don't have the revelation. So you need to teach them this. It's fundamental in helping the body of Christ becoming free of battling in trying to live holy, trying to do the self-righteousness, trying to improve their life, et cetera, all in the human strength, and not understanding what took place. So it's important in giving the folk an understanding of this truth and that. And so we see over there, so my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him, to Christ Jesus, who was raised from the dead. This is back, the same thing that Romans chapter 6 is speaking about over there, who raised him from the dead in order, the purpose of all of this, that we might bear fruit for God. Okay? That's the fullness of the Holy Spirit living within us. That's the fullness of God within us. That's the fullness of Christ within us. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. Remember, the law of sin is death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. And we can go on and on in that area over there. Remember in Ezekiel chapter 36, there in verse 26 and verse 27 onwards, where God through Ezekiel, the Spirit of God through Ezekiel is prophesying about this occasion, about what Paul is writing about, what Jesus has done. It speaks about there that this heart of stone, you see, that's the law of sin and death. This heart of stone will be removed and will be given a heart of flesh. That's the law of the Spirit of life. Okay? And I will put my Spirit in you to help you to keep my ways. That is the operation of God, the Holy Spirit. This is the law of the Spirit that gives life to us. And so that is the reality of what we're learning in this over there. Now, in other words, we are learning to be under the rule of the Holy Spirit and no longer under the rule of the law of sin and death. I can't stress the seriousness of this. The body of Christ, to quite a large extent, lives in such condemnation. And so we go back to verse 1, the reality of condemnation, because we know the truth, but somehow we make the promises. We are truly genuine in our commitment to follow God. We are truly genuine in wanting to obey and to, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. But not long after we made that yes, Lord, we find ourselves going back to the old system, that old operating system. And that, and as I shared, it's simply because this is not explained and this is not received by faith. None of this. This law of the Spirit, it's nothing to do with our works. It's all the gift from God. Jesus said, and I'm leaving, I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to give you the Holy Spirit. And that is what, it's a gift from God through Jesus Christ. We have received the Holy Spirit. This law of the Spirit of life is a gift from God. It's not our works. It's totally a gift. And what I see taking place, and that's why this is such a now word for the body of Christ, is that where the revelation, the fullness of Jesus, the fullness of God, this fullness of walking in step with the Holy Spirit, all the human effort and the man-made stuff in church environments is being shaken, because Jesus says, I'm going to build my church, and he's given us a spirit, and anything that's bypassing, keeping in step with the spirit, life in the spirit, all of that stuff is what is being shaken over there, so that the body of Christ be seeing this pure body of Christ emerging that now walks in step with the Holy Spirit, lives in the reality of the Holy Spirit, the law of life of the Holy Spirit. And that's the powerful body of Christ. This is the life-giving body of Christ. This is the body of Christ that we're seeing emerging. And you and I, we part of this new, this body that is this family of God that is just really beginning to come alive in a new way, getting so set free from all the stuff and living in this incredible law of the Spirit that gives life. And that's why when we speak about streams of living water will flow from us, what's happening is that we are learning to actually live in the stream of life that the Spirit of God gives. And that's the reality. So yeah, so the Israelites, they had the law, they tried to live, but they kept on going back to the old operating system, which was the sin, the power of sin operating in their lives. And so every single year they had the atonement, every single year they had the sacrifices, every single year they had to keep on going and getting forgiveness and that, because they kept on going to that old law, that old operating system where the power of sin was the power over there. Christ comes. He puts that, he deals with that there in him. Now that power of sin is broken. Now the power of life operates within us. We need to receive this. We need to accept that. Okay. So saying all of this over there, I want us to go to Romans chapter 12, because this is in the context of walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, in the context of living in the reality of the law of the Spirit that gives life, in the context of enjoying the freedom from the power of sin. Remember, we've touched this briefly a few times over there. If Romans chapter 6, it speaks about the old man. The old man is it's a Greek word for humanity. It's the humanity that we were in Adam, where the power of sin was the reality in that humanity. We are a new creation. And so now that power is broken. And when he speaks about then the sinful nature, that's not our old humanity. That's the body of sin where sin still operates. So Romans chapter 7 is an explanation of the conflict over there, because the power of sin is broken. I'm no longer operating in under that control, but in my body, I still find the reality of sin still operating over there. And that's when Paul says, but thanks be to God that there's a way out of that. And that is through Christ Jesus, because our life in him sets us free. And that's why as we keep in step with the Holy Spirit, we do not gratify the sinful nature. Remember, the power of sin is broken, but the body of sin, we still got that. That's why, as we saw there in Romans chapter 8, that we groan waiting for the redemption of our bodies. That's still coming, the redemption of our bodies. And then that's the full adoption that the scripture speaks about in Romans chapter 8 over there. And so our soul and spirit is one thing, but our bodies are still the issue that we battle with over there. But just remember, we don't have to yield to that anymore, because we're operating in a new power, the power of the Holy Spirit. Keep in step, live by the Holy Spirit. We will not gratify. We will not yield. We will not go into and give into the body of sin. That's the discipling. That's the way of sanctification. That's the life of the Spirit that empowers us to be separate, to live incredible holy life, to really be able to be an example because of his new law. Okay. Now in Romans chapter 12, and we read over there in verse 1 onwards over there. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. It's profound because how we have, I've just mentioned, as we see in Romans 6 and 7, that, and even 8, that this body of sin is the issue that we have, but the power of sin no longer operates in us. So now, because of what Christ has done, because we are no longer under the law of sin and death, but under the law of the Spirit of life, and where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of God is, there is grace. Where the Spirit of God is, there is life. Because we are operating in that, we are able now to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is an incredible truth for us as children of God. And that's why this needs to be shared wherever we go, so that the body of Christ can truly live in the reality of not being under the power, not yielding to the sin still operating in the body, but now living above that, not submitting to that, not being a slave to all that sin operating in the body. But now we're offering our bodies. And in that offering our bodies, that's when we experience the incredible life of the Spirit moving in our bodies, working in our bodies, so that Paul writes, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, continually be filled, not be drunk in wine, but be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, because we're embracing the operation of the Holy Spirit fully in these bodies, not only our spirit, not only our soul, but our bodies as well, so that the fruit of the operation of the Holy Spirit within us is been released through our bodies. That is why there is the life in the Spirit, and there's the keeping in step with the Spirit. The keeping in the step with the Spirit is the manifestation of the life of the Spirit. It's our obedience. It's the responding to the governance of the Holy Spirit, to the lordship of the Holy Spirit within our lives. And this is, guys, this is a key for you and I to live in the growing journey of how to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. This is the key for you and I to come and to offer our bodies, because our bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit. For you and I to continually say, here's my body, surrender to you. Holy Spirit, everything that you are wanting to do through this body of mine, I say yes to that, because your law operates. That's the reality. That's the breakthrough. Why this is so important, because we go back to Romans chapter 7, that when we do this, it's not long where you find the desires of the flesh rising up to fight your offering of your body. And you will find all kinds of distractions to try and sort of throw a spanner in the works. Guys, that is why this is a continuous reality. I do this all the time, daily. I'm offering my body for the Spirit, for the law, for the fullness of the Holy Spirit, what he wants to do through my life, in my life, through my life. Yes, Lord. We will go into that probably next Sunday, God willing. But this is a key that opens up Ephesians chapter 3. Okay, we'll get there. But it's a key for you and I to yield and to allow the Holy Spirit to be Lord. Remember Isaiah chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 10, 11 verse 2, where we saw over there that the Spirit of the Lord, about the sevenfold Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now, let's go back to Romans 12. We read over there, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Why? Because there's a new operating system. When we received Jesus, we received a new operating system. We no longer have that default of that operating system of the law of sin and death. Okay? If we don't receive this, we will revert back. That's why the Old Testament prophets and the Old Testament Israelites and that always referred back. No matter what God said, they always went back to the default, to that operating system. In Christ, we've got a brand new operating system, this control system. And we are learning how to we're learning how to live. We're learning how to use this operating system. And so here we see offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. It's living because we're keeping in step, because it's alive. It's this law of life operating within us. This is your true and proper worship. Now verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. There's millions of courses on how to know the will of God. There's millions of courses on trying to find your purpose, trying to find reason, trying to find why you're on this planet Earth, etc., etc. If we're bypassing this, if we're bypassing Romans chapter 8, 6 and 7 and 5, etc., etc., really, we're missing it. We really are missing it there. We're living in a slight degree of that, but not the fullness of that. And that is why for the body of Christ to live in its incredible redemptive purpose, the Holy Spirit is teaching us something profound. And so again, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Guys, listen to this. Our mind is a gateway for the law of the Spirit to bring about inner transformation in our lives. Why do you think, let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. How did Satan come and deceive Eve? He began by a question, did God say, dealing with the mind? See, because the mind, if he can capture the mind, that's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I think it's verse 4 and 5, where we see that the God of this age has blinded the mind of the unbeliever. Because our mind is the gateway for this law of the Spirit to bring about inner transformation. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Okay, so now let's see, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Now be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Why does Paul speak in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, from verse 1 to verse 6, for instance, where he speaks about the weapons that we use are not this worldly carnal weapons, but they're spiritual, they're divine, they have this incredible power to demolish every stronghold that comes against, every argument that comes against the truth of God. And so we take captive every thought and make it obedient unto Jesus Christ. So we need to get to this truth where we actually now start to accept the truth. God, this old nature, this old power of sin is not my operating system. I get into agreement. When you died, Jesus, that law died. That law has no authority over me. I now belong to you. I'm united to you in your death and resurrection. Now I have a new law. A new law operates. I'm under the authority of this new law, the law of the Spirit of life. We need to transform. We need to renew our minds to this. We need to accept this. Every time we end up just messing up or going into, we go into sin or we lose our tempers, whatever the case may be. Take captive now. And now, once again, Lord, I want to thank you that there's a new law of the Spirit operating in me. See, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Receive, become conscious of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the full reality of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. What does he say over here? then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What does Isaiah 11 verse 2 speak about? That as we embrace the incredible ministry, the law, the life of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the counsel, all of that becomes our reality. That's part of the life. That's part of the law of the Spirit of life that is operating within us. And we start to walk in this truth. We start to walk in the fullness of this truth. But we've got to grow. There's many, many times where we're going to be struggling, and we're going to be going back to the old way of thinking, et cetera, et cetera. But remember that we shared last time, we have the Holy Spirit who's not going to take away that struggle. But the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and carries that yoke with us and helps us in that weakness. He intercedes, because the Holy Spirit intercedes according to the will of God. It's bullseye intercession with the Holy Spirit. We may not understand what's taking place, but now, because we've embraced the Holy Spirit within us, we know that he, in our weaknesses, he is interceding exactly bullseye, the will of God for our lives, and he's helping us. He's leading us. He's enabling us to be able to get out of our weakness area, in a sense, and begin to once again experience the reality of his life operating within us. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit that you and I have. It's an incredible gift that is so, so precious. Really to honor the Holy Spirit, to value his ministry, to be thankful for the Holy Spirit's ministry within us is fundamental in this journey of walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It is true. Now, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And there's so much more in this. But just spend time in meditating what I shared over there. The first time when I was just meditating on this, that I got this, about the mind being a gateway for the Spirit to bring inner transformation, to conform us into the likeness of Jesus. That is why the mind is such a battle of the mind. But praise God that the law of the Spirit enables us to be able to renew our mind. Where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Now, just as I close here quickly, I want to just introduce to you again, just in the context of all that we're saying and the incredible journey that we're going into, the fullness of walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That prayer that Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14 onwards over there, it reads there, "And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit," where? In your inner being. Okay? "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." So here we see an incredible ministry of the Holy Spirit in the transformation taking place within our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit doing this. That's why the renewal of the mind, to be transformed by the renewing of the mind, is crucial. Starting to look at our situation, not from our perspective, but again, we look at our situation from God's perspective. Crucial for that inner transformation to take place. That's why we spent time previously about the goodness of God. We spent time, lots of time of understanding in Book of Revelations, how to interpret what's unfolding in our country and the world around us. If we don't interpret it through the revelation of Christ Jesus, that all that's unfolding is revealing Jesus Christ, we will get confused. And that's all the time. We've got to see it all the time through the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the true perspective. Renewing the mind brings about the inner transformation so that we as a body of Christ can live and reveal his glory in the situation that we find ourselves worldwide. Now we go there in verse, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's our journey. The whole goal of the Holy Spirit, the whole goal of his operation within us, is to bring us into, to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's his goal. That's his purpose. That's when you and I offer our bodies. That's when you and I yield to the Holy Spirit. That's when you and I keep in step with the Holy Spirit. That's the yielded part of it there. This is his goal, so that you and I can be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. That's beyond our comprehension. But, verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power. What is his power? This is the law of the Spirit of life. According to this law operating in you and I as a born-again child of God, as a lover of Jesus, this is what's taken. You and I, by faith, simply receive this. Just that simple belief. God, this is happening to me. This is, and I want to thank you that this is happening to me. This law of your Holy Spirit is operating in my life, doing far more than what I can ask for, far more than what I can imagine, far more than what I perceive and what I understand, far more than all of this. See, this is the fullness he's taking us into, beyond our own limitations, beyond our own theories, beyond our own all the stuff that we worry about life, taking us beyond that into the fullness, okay? By why? Because you and I simply accept by faith that there's a new law operating within me, and I choose to live by this law. I keep in step with this law. I believe this law of the Spirit operating within me. I say amen to that. See, that's the renewal of the mind that brings about the inner transformation. When we accept this incredible work of God according to his power that is at work within us. It's not still. It is at work within us. It's operating. It's fulfilling its desire. It's fulfilling its mandate to bring us into the fullness of being full to the fullness of God. The Holy Spirit's doing that. Why? To be glory in the body of Christ. To him be glory in the family of God. To him be glory in all of us as his incredible family, because his life, the fullness of him is in us. This is the journey, guys. This is what we're moving into. This is what the Holy Spirit's passionately doing in our lives. And then in Christ Jesus, because that's what it's all about, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And just briefly on that, through all generations, it doesn't just mean, it's only time this word is actually used in the New Testament. It doesn't just mean the generation of, like we know of ages, etc., of lifespans. No, it speaks about all eternity. It speaks about, eternity beyond eternity. That's what it's actually saying. And so all the time, it's just this incredible journey of the incredible glory of God, throughout eternity, beyond eternity, eternity plus eternity, plus eternity, plus eternity. That's the sense that Paul is writing over there. And so we praise God for that. So this morning as we have communion, Jesus has made the way for you and I to receive a new law, the law of the Spirit that gives life. Jesus has made the way to deal with the old operating system that Adam had, and we were born with that operating system. He has set us free. He's brought in the reality that you and I now can simply offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Guys, and then there's the most amazing journey from then onwards where you will find there our own personal time zone, how he rips us out of that. But we'll talk about that, God willing, next Sunday more and more of the actual, the journey of just being yes to him and being free from our time zone, being free from our perception, being free from all the stuff and that, and just learning now to how to walk in this new operating system within us and grow in our journey and walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit within us. So, Father, thank you. You are such a, we can't even imagine the joy in heaven when your son came and gave his life and made the way for you to now send the Holy Spirit to mankind so they could receive a new operating system, the law of the Holy Spirit. What a joy to be able to, in the heavenly realms. I can just imagine, Father, all the Old Testament saints and that, where they struggled so much, where they battled so much because they were still under that old operating system, but yet they simply believed you. They had faith in you and they just loved you, Father. And that, what a joy and celebration when Pentecost came, when they could perceive that something new, something profound has taken place. Oh, the freedom and the breakthrough and an incredible life of the Holy Spirit in the people, so that the people living on the earth can begin to experience this life, this abundant life, how to live in the reality of the life that is found in your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, while heaven celebrates and rejoices, we too come this morning to celebrate and to just rejoice in your goodness and in the love through your Son, Jesus, in making a way for us to receive the Holy Spirit and to be set free from that old incredible law that controlled our lives. We want to thank you for the freedom. We want to thank you that we are no longer slaves to sin, but oh God, we are not under the authority of your Holy Spirit. What a joy to live in your goodness. What a joy to live in your plans for our lives. What a joy to live in that which is beyond our imagination, more than what we have asked for. What a joy to learn how to walk with you into the fullness of all of that truth, Lord God, and we celebrate what you are doing. So, Lord Jesus, thank you so much as we just partake in your Lord, in your supper together, together in the heavenly realms with all the saints, with all the angels, as we just celebrate your incredible death to now we died with you, Lord Jesus. That old law was broken. We're no longer under that law anymore. We want to thank you for your resurrection, what brought us into the new life. And so we celebrate the power of your blood in dealing with the sin, being that perfect sacrifice, making that atonement, washing us clean, justifying us, Father, because of Jesus. So we receive the power, the testimony of your blood, Lord, over our lives. We receive the power and the testimony of your broken body for our lives as we partake in the fullness of that for your glory, for your honor, not only for us now, but for eternity beyond eternity, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Enjoy the communion as you just celebrate God's goodness.